Welcome to another episode of Silly with the Hooligans. Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Matthew Bird.
All right.
So we were just having a good conversation about World Cup stuff, and I definitely want to come back to that because it was really good, and the future U.S. soccer.
If you pay extra, you can hear those conversations. It's on our Patreon channel for premium subscribers only. Never mind.
That'd be a lot of work. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
We do no extra work.
And you know what I say to that?
Kiss my ass.
Matt Brown.
We've got a sample board.
Mitch has got a new toy.
Yep.
No, it's an old toy brought back.
Okay, well, here's the thing. After the RGB FC game, I said, that's an aberration. We only had one shot on goal. We really can't count that as a game. Even though it was points lost, we should have scored points against them. Going into Vegas, Vegas was winnable, and we somehow managed to play worse.
We need our forwards to start scoring.
Yeah, the Stein guys.
Quit playing with your toy.
Nope. I planned for this. Okay. So what I did was I went back through old podcasts, and I did nothing but pull old quotes.
Well, just keep pushing buttons. Maybe we're now officially midway through the season, and you can't do that.
Well, they did that.
Our forwards to start scoring.
Yeah, the Stein guys need it.
Why did we even come, Matt? He could just play with his toy. We need our forwards to start scoring.
Yeah, the Stein guys need it.
See, this is great because it's everything that we normally say.
But the problem, though, is that right now, unrealistic expectations.
You're fucking with the show. Just stop it. So we had one shot versus RGV, and then we topped that with zero shots.
If you press it's back on that fucking it's piece of paper, it. I will walk out of this room.
I'm telling you right now, it's not here because I couldn't find it.
And the show has reached a new low.
We're creating opportunities. We just can't score.
Fuck off.
But we're not creating opportunities. Mitch, I'm going to unplug that goddamn thing. Don't touch it again. We're not creating opportunities. We created zero shots on goal in Vegas, and that was not a good Vegas team.
I couldn't put it any better way. I mean, you can't sugarcoat it.
We have put it that way many times.
We cannot sugarcoat.
No, I've never talked about a team who had zero shots on goal.
Valid point. I couldn't find an episode where we talked about that.
One shot on goal in 180 minutes against two teams lower than us in the table.
It's ridiculous.
You can't sugarcoat it.
It's shocking. It's just...
I mean, injuries, tired, fatigue, 170. I get all that.
Still. Yeah, but still.
Shoot the ball. And
woeful.
It was pretty bad. I mean, Vegas was shit. They
yeah, good to know. Awful. Good to know Freddie Adu still shit. I'm glad he's blocked.
You know, the podcast. I'm not gonna name names, but Walfall lost the ball. So and they had a lucky pump forward, a guy ran onto it and scored, and that was the only thing that happened in the game.
And again, that shit happens. You even giving up a goal, you should beat that Vegas team.
Yeah, they got it. Yeah.
And at the beginning of the season, we were creating the chances and just not finishing them. And now we haven't created the chances. It's got to go back down to the short bench, the small roster that Ant.
Again, we were
wanted.
Dressing guys that are injured just to meet the league.
We
minimum.
Couldn't make subs in a game that was 115 degrees or whatever ungodly temperature it was in Vegas. There was nobody healthy on the bench. You had Herzog on the bench, and we know he's hurt. Who else did we have on the bench?
I think Barden was.
Barden was, and we know he's not 100%.
He was in a polo shirt.
Okay.
He wasn't even, right. There was not even pretend that he could have played.
I think you had Ledbetter, and you had, the new kid, the academy signing, who's obviously probably not ready to be thrown in.
Jacqueline.
Yeah. I mean, Ant couldn't make a change if he wanted to because we don't have any bodies. No. So we have to talk about two things. We have to talk about the bench and why it is so short and injuries.
I mean, like, I love Lewis Hilton's game, but it's a high energy, high impact game.
He needs a fucking break.
We joked about it last week and then at the
watch
party.
We joked about it a month ago.
But you can see on his free kicks as he gets tired. First one or two are good.
Yeah.
Then he gets tired and they start getting lower and lower and shorter and shorter.
And add in the fact that, like I said, it was 115 degrees or whatever.
Right. You know, and it's just, you can tell the guy just, he gives his all the time and he's spent. Mm. And who do we have to take his place right now?
At this point, you know, we just need warm bodies. And again, and we can ask, I mean, we were told Ant wanted a smaller squad, and there are benefits to running a smaller squad. I get that. But when the injuries start piling up, you've got to bring bodies in. So do we not have the budget to buy players? I mean, we brought in a few loans, but those are always hit and miss. I mean, I'm at a loss, guys. This team, the last two games, woeful.
I just don't know what to say. As you say, we all thought that RGV was a bit of an outlier the way it went.
No.
But Vegas was terrible.
And those two teams, again, you can look at the table and you can say, well, you're not too far out. You're still right there in the mix. But those
we left 5 points on the table, though.
We left. Yeah, exactly. And those two games are ones that you need 3 points from because you're coming into Reno. You know, hey, we're coming into Tulsa and – I don't know if you've noticed, but Tulsa is not the same shit show they were a month ago.
Yeah, they're unbeaten in four.
I mean, you got to get points, and you can't afford to drop anymore.
Going back to the injury thing, this is—I mean, Stuart. I had Stuart pull numbers for us.
Yeah,
64 man games lost this season to injury.
We're only halfway through the
season. Now, that's ten. I'll take 10 off the top. Right off that number because of Gomez. We knew he was
injured coming in.
54 is still ridiculous.
And I mean, look, an injury like Austin Martz is going to happen.
Okay, so now we're at 44. That's still at the halfway point?
Well, no. My point is you can kind of explain all of these injuries as it just happens.
Four guys,
all of them together.
Four guys at 10 or more.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll get one. Yes, you might get two. Getting four, and then two guys that are at 5 and 6 and climbing?
We asked the question last week. I still don't have an answer. Is it because we're on turf? Is it because the strength and conditioning coaches...
But they don't practice on the turf.
Is it because the strength and conditioning coaches don't know what the hell they're doing? Because it happens to us every year?
I don't want to point fingers.
It's not their fault that Kadeem Dakers gets hauled down.
No, pulls his shoulder out.
Those are going to happen. And that's the thing, you know, and I'm looking at this list and... You know, Kadeem missed a game. Fan missed a.
And then the other thing is
three games.
Fans was to start the season.
But again, there are guys that'll miss here and there. Well, and that's fine.
The other thing is the thing like a hamstring or a high ankle sprain that I think Corey's dealing with. You never know how long a guy's going to be out. You know what I mean? That could be a 2 week injury, or that could be a month injury, or that could be a 2 month injury.
But again, that's four games.
But let's figure out what's going on. And I have no answers for you.
And the thing is, you know, people ask about the turf. They don't practice on the turf. Those are only, you know, basically game day practices.
Well, but I mean, and also other teams in this league deal with turf. It's not
Louisville. If they're playing, or Vegas, they're playing on those awful fields because Cashman is probably worse than Slugger.
Yeah, I don't want to make a big deal of it because you still have to beat that team, but that field was terrible.
That may be worse than Slugger.
Guys were falling everywhere.
The thing is, though, Austin Martz and Aiden Stanley and the younger kids have played on turf all their lives.
Yeah.
There's nothing new to that.
Right, exactly.
Well, then somebody mentioned, is it the Missouri weather going from the rainy cold immediately to the, you know, 100-degree heat?
That was me.
But I don't know. The Vegas kids are training in 115
but
degrees. Phoenix kids are training in 115 degrees.
But they
don't
have the cold preseason.
Okay.
It's more temperate.
But they're training in adverse conditions.
But the thing is that
Colorado's training at, you know, which theoretically
you
gives
might
them
get
an advantage,
yeah, but you might get a fucking cold or worse, a flu. You're not going to get an ankle sprain because it was 30 degrees 2 months ago.
But Cincinnati has similar weather to us, but they also have 1,000 players on the roster.
That's the thing. Do we need a bigger roster? Because every year injuries kill us.
Well, and let's, you know, every year we play 2 to 3 games in the Open Cup, which is midweek games as well.
Oh, fuck that.
No, but I'm just saying is that when you have a small roster and if injuries happen, you're playing with fire at that point
Hey, you know what Fire and Ice is doing this weekend?
Playing two games back-to-back.
They're playing a playoff game Saturday, and if they win that game, the next playoff game's the next day.
On turf.
On turf, shitty conditions.
Yeah, I mean, they play 10
games.
I mean,
I'm not saying I'm an advocate of playing twice a week.
The budget's the budget. As again, if you get more players, the caliber of that play is going to come down.
But I think that's where the GM and the coach have to work together and say, okay, you can have 5 blue chip players, and then you need 20, you know.
So
I mean, it's a balancing act. It's not like you get all good players or all mediocre players.
I'm just going to pick on him because I saw his name, Fan Kavita. I just randomly picked a dude. For what we're paying him in a pretty thick back line already, could you get a college kid,
well, here's,
two or three college
but
kids?
But here's the other problem. In USL, we don't know how much they're, any of these guys are
truth,
paid.
But I'm just saying.
No,
you know,
I know.
But, you know, comparatively, what you expect somebody like him to be making, could you get two or three guys fresh out of college
but
to then make a team somewhere?
I'll contend at the beginning of the season, I wanted more defenders because I thought we looked thin.
And of all places, that's been the best for non-injuries.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, I thought that's where we looked thin. I thought we had plenty of strikers. I thought we had plenty of midfielders.
And we still do have plenty of strikers. Like, strikers we're not bad on, but it's getting the ball to them. It's creating the opportunities.
Well, and when they get it, shoot the goddamn thing.
That, well, yeah, that's a different
story. And that's for the midfield, too. I mean,
here's a question, and I put this on Twitter. I think our output has gone down significantly since Corey's been out.
See Stewart's response?
That, we had Tulsa in there, and that skewed the mean average.
Sure.
Because we had 28 shots.
See, but this comes back to what I said early in the year when he was struggling. I think Corey's that guy that draws a player off and gives somebody else another opportunity.
I agree.
Yeah, I'd like to have him out there. But I don't know if that solves all our problems.
It doesn't, but I'm just saying, you know.
I mean, we've had a problem scoring.
We've never had a hot help.
From day one.
We've never had our planned 11 starters on the field at the same time.
Yeah, but at a certain point, you have to say, okay, fuck it. This is the team we got. Let's do it.
You do, but, you know, again. This
but you look at that team in Las Vegas. You look at that starting 11.
They look fine.
You look good starting 11. Yeah. I actually looked at them. Strong team, that.
Yeah. I was happy.
They played like turd.
And they created nothing.
You know, Walfall had a turnover. He didn't have a good game. He did not play well.
And not many of them did.
Oh, yeah.
No,
why pick on Walfall?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, fair enough.
No one out there had a great game.
But, you know, but the thing is that he can't do it by himself.
No, and nobody can.
And he shouldn't be the linchpin of it. As much as I like what he does, we've got to have better support.
But at this point, it's on all of them, and I mean, I know there are fans complaining about the coaching or the GM or the ownership not spending enough money, whatever you want to pick on. At the end of the day, these are all talented players that can and should be scoring in this league because they have in the past.
I'm not touching Dr. Sample.
Did it last month? I mean, we've done it.
Yeah, no, that's the
thing.
Well,
and that's the thing. If the last two games we'd had 20 shots and we still got the same results,
okay,
I'd be like, okay, it's just not falling for us. But when you're creating no shots, you've got no chance to win the game.
And back to the back line, the back line's doing everything they need to do.
Yeah, giving up one goal is not,
yeah, one goal in two games,
yeah
I mean,
that's fine,
absolutely fine. It's basically the midfield up,
and it was a shitty goal to give away. I mean, they,
yeah, it was good seeing Tony Walls back in.
But you know what, though, Matt? Like I said, it's a shitty goal to give up. And we've given up some flukes throughout this season. But one goal down to Vegas does not count you out of a game.
No. Agreed. No.
But as soon as they scored, you may as well go to bed.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. The 10 p.m. kickoff. I know, Mitch, you went to the watch party,
yeah,
didn't you?
There's like eight of us.
I mean, I was at home. I was exhausted. My air conditioning was broke. But I thought, and Rebecca was gone, so I thought, I'm just going to sit here in my recliner and watch the game. And I'm just like, when it was done, I'm like, I should have gone to bed 2 hours ago. I mean, because literally nothing happened in that game.
I DVR'd it, put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and watched it in the morning.
Yeah.
Because I've been up with the kids since 5 o'clock.
I don't know. And like I said, other than I was happy to see Freddie do still shit, that's all I got out of that game.
I there were a few takeaways. Tomas, again, I like him back there. I like his command. I like his control. I think, you know, their one goal, there wasn't much he was going to be able to do.
Yeah, I mean, that shit happens.
But, again, everything from, you know, that everything from Tony Walls back, perfectly fine. Perfectly fine with. They do what they're supposed to, game in, game out. They take care of business. Maybe a couple mistakes, but that happens. It's just there's nothing going on up front. Nothing. Nothing.
I'd like to argue, but
can't sugarcoat it. It is what it is. And
I guess the good news is, I mean, if you want to call it good news, We've got Tulsa this weekend, who, again, theoretically we should be better than them, but they're playing well.
But even if we beat them 2-0, it's just, do you think it sets us on a roll, or is it just papers the clutch?
2-0 is the bare minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, you know, you have to get all 3 points from this game. And I don't care if it's pretty or ugly, anything less than 3 points.
And at home.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's the thing. It's at home. You have to win this.
Anything less than 3 points against Tulsa at home is a failure.
What was it? We've scored 6 goals at home this year?
It's crazy. I don't know. Somebody posted it. It's been a while since we've had a home goal.
6 goals at home this year.
And we need some smoke.
Yeah. I mean, we started strong. We were scoring at home. It's always at the other end. Maybe that's it. Maybe they need to start going the other way.
When was the last time we went on the road and won a game against a team higher than us in the league?
That was last
When's the last time we went on the road and won a game lower than us in the league? I mean, shit.
Tulsa, last month.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't count Tulsa. But I should now.
No, yeah.
But, I mean, again, I don't know if it was Claude or if it was Jeff Aiken, one of the people that made the trip to Vegas, and they were just recounting, I've gone to see my team here, 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 and here, and I've never seen an away win.
Yeah, it's Claude.
I mean,
because immediately I did the same math, and yeah, everybody does. You know, it's not good results when we travel.
I don't know.
It's not good results when we
travel. I'm despondent. I'm back to thinking this team isn't good enough to make the playoffs.
They're good. I do think they're good enough.
They're just not getting it done.
If you don't win the games you should win, then you can't do it.
Literally, this is everything that's on my doctor sample. That's why I did it, because every conversation we're having, we could just keep having over and over and over and over
again. Well, and I mean, again, please prove me wrong. Please completely turn it around. Please come out and score a bunch of goals and get everybody healthy and prove to me that I'm being negative. But right now,
but you can't
see
you
it.
Can't watch those last two games and be positive.
I don't think you can.
You can't.
No, not one bit.
But somebody will complain that I'm being too negative.
But you can't. I mean, we do a show every week, and we're looking back on the last game.
And honestly,
it was a bad game.
I do try to put a positive spin on it. Even when we lose, I try to look for the highlights. But after that game?
The highlights are that some of these players are coming back. That's my highlight. That's my silver lining in the cloud, is that some of these players are coming back.
We need Corey back. We need Barden back. I mean, Barden's the captain. You know, getting him back will be helpful.
I don't know how fit Dequa is.
I don't know how fit he's. We mentioned it last week. We're going to lose Aiden. Aiden's been one of our better players.
By far.
We're going to lose him.
Just by being healthy.
Yeah, well, but he's doing the work out there, too.
He was taking the free kicks. He was pushing up on Saturday.
Kid's going to MLS. Aiden Stanley's going to go to MLS. I think he's that good.
I think he goes beyond MLS.
Question is he good enough to go to Europe?
I think he is. I really do.
I don't know. I don't want to put that much on him just yet. And I'd also like
he's got time.
I'd like to get him on the show before he takes off to college, just so we can, you know, pick his brain a little bit and see what he's thinking. But by far, he has
he's
a
underage.
Huge,
we can't offer him a beer. Don't let me forget.
We save money. He's got a huge upside.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think Jack Maher does too.
But I think next week we'll try and get John Barden and Lewis on the pod, and we'll have a little celebration.
That would be nice. let's go ahead and talk about World Cup, Matt. My team, I picked France to win it all.
You did pick France.
They have made their way to the finals. I think
slow start in the grooves, but they found the groove, eh?
I think of the four semifinal or quarterfinal games, you two picked them all right, and I was the lone guy that picked Brazil to beat Belgium. So if you only
I think you know what with Brazil, man, I think they've been trading on the, and I think all right. Here's the thing, and we talked about this off the air with England. People think Brazil 1970.
Yeah.
That's what they imagine Brazil. They think
or they think
Pelé,
the Ronaldo, Ronaldinho,
the Jogo Bonito.
Yeah, they're thinking.
I mean, that's when the game was going on. Matt Brown and I were chatting, and I think you were in there too, Mitch.
I'm always just this afterthought here.
No, but Brown said Brazil is not fun to watch anymore.
No, they're not.
And
not
I said,
all.
Yeah, it's not Ronaldinho.
It's not Yoga Benito.
Yeah,
you said that, and I was like, that's exactly what.
Which is because before, everybody loved to watch Brazil. Mm-hmm. This was not a team that anyone loves to watch. And
they're not creative like Neymar, they used to be. Neymar. You know, but even the rest of the guys, they're more workmen than they are.
And Belgium dazzling. It was too machine-like and just took it to them.
Yeah, which I thought they would have gave France a little bit better game because of it today, but I was telling Bird before he got here, Belgium just didn't look like they were going to ever be in it today.
Yeah, but France didn't put on a clinic today either.
No, they didn't have to. They have another gear that they didn't need to go to today.
Yeah. But going in tomorrow, the big game, the Sarah Robertson versus Matt Bird derby, mm-hmm. Croatia and England.
I think the whole it's coming home thing started as a joke. It started as a piss take because we beat Panama 6-1 and everyone was like, ah, we won 6-1. Yeah, it's great. You know, and it because we all knew it was Panama and it was a joke. And then slowly but surely, holy shit. We're playing some decent stuff. All right, it's against Sweden.
But Sweden's no mugs.
Sweden's good.
Colombia are no mugs.
Right. No.
And I thought for 60 minutes we controlled the game against Colombia. That's half the game in 120 minutes. And then the Sweden game, it was never in doubt.
Right. No.
We were winning that game. It was after the 10 minutes in, I was like, I could sit back, relax, have my coffee. It was never in doubt.
And it also shows that in these tournaments, momentum is such a big deal. This England team now believes in itself. And I'm sure, you know, you're my pessimistic friend. You're thinking, well, just don't worry about the finals. If we do, it's great. If we don't, you know, no big deal. We've already overachieved, you know,
I think
the players are starting to believe it.
I think we're playing with house money now. They're going to go back heroes no matter what.
Yeah.
And
they're set up for 4 years from now.
I think Belgium and Croatia also have laid their markers down on the future. I mean, Belgium and Croatia have never won it before, but they've always been those dark horse teams that knew had the talent.
I think Belgium have finished third twice. Croatia's finished third once.
Yeah.
Who'd think that we're talking about Spain as an also ran at this point?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think, I mean, you made some really good points this year, Matt, about, you know, if they do expand the field to 32 teams or whatever they're talking about, 48 teams,
yeah.
I think there's a solid 12 teams in the world at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
And of those 12, roll the dice. You know, like we're saying, Spain didn't make it, but you could have seen a way that Spain was here.
Yeah, I always thought there was going to be one surprise out of the group stage. I thought it was going to be Brazil.
Yeah.
Who would just... talked about no great shakes, but it was Germany. You know, they collapsed.
But you're not about to say Germany's not still a soccer power.
Correct.
They are. They had a shitty tournament.
Yeah,
Spain had a shitty tournament.
Portugal had a bad
tournament.
But
I think, you know, like I said, 12 solid teams. Mm-hmm. Anybody could win. And a team like Japan, a couple bounces go their way. They could find their way in the mix, and they're not in that elite tier. Mm-hmm. But I think if you expand the tournament to 32 or to 48, there's going to be some woeful games.
But you can't – the majority of the soccer world, within these, 215 nations, the majority of the soccer world are teams like Scotland.
They need that moment too.
And they need more of a chance to qualify. And
be the surprise team.
They did that – they did that in the Euros last time.
Yeah, the Euros.
And Wales and Iceland were the surprise. I mean, it did work.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll work for the World Cup.
And I guess the big nations would be like, yeah, I'd like that. So, you know, Spain, and we can get another few games in. And
a couple more bucks.
And Italy and Holland. There's always one or two teams that don't make the cut.
But also, if you're building 12 stadiums from scratch for a tournament, You may as well play as many games in it as you can. I don't know.
But I think that like the Olympics, I think that's going to start to go away. That you're going to only see the Russias, the Englands, the Spains, the United States be able to host it.
It's being shown to be a disaster. You know, the stadiums that were used in Brazil just 4 years ago are empty and falling apart and just wastes of space.
So I think that's what we're going to start seeing now. It's only going to be North America, Europe.
I guess for me, you know, as we talked it out, the bonus of expanding the roster is to give teams like Iceland this year had their moment.
Yes.
You know, which, you know, how long has it been since Scotland and Wales have qualified for the World Cup? I mean,
yeah.
You know, they need their moment in the sun and to possibly get that upset win and have their day.
And the, as I say, the majority of soccer teams in the world are those types of teams. No disrespect, but they're like the U.S.
Yeah.
They, you know.
Oh, the U.S., I mean, let's not kid ourselves. The reason we've qualified X years in a row is because we're in CONCACAF.
But if you say you've got your 12 top teams and then you've got 50 in the second tier.
Yeah.
And you get a couple of teams like England that will bounce between being the lower part of the 12 that are good or the upper five of the 50 that are mediocre. But the voting block in FIFA is the 50 mediocre team. That's your voting block.
Yeah.
You know, if you continually pull your resources for the big 12 and leave out those 50 in the middle or the 100 in the middle, then you're going to get voted out.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got to give the smaller nations a chance.
Well, and that's also how you develop the game too.
True.
You know, when somebody sees their country do well, maybe they switch from basketball to soccer.
Well,
whatever.
The other thing that's kind of shocked me about this World Cup, and I guess it shouldn't because it happens every World Cup, but when you're seeing like the people from Panama that made the trip to Russia.
Delighted to score.
But, I mean, we're talking serious money for, like, I couldn't afford.
Thousands of
I couldn't afford to take a two-week trip to Russia and get tickets to the games and all that.
What do these guys do for a living, man?
Well, that's what I think. It's so important to these people that is their money for the next 4 years. That's their, you know what I mean? They're blowing it all to have their moment. And good for them. I mean, really.
I mean, it's probably about $1,000 on hotels. Airfare is probably 15 to 2. Depending.
But you get the feeling like if these games were being held in Panama, the regular people would be priced out of going to those games. It would just be.
Oh, they saw that in Brazil.
They would just be tourists coming in to see the games.
Oh, in 2026, I'm going to rent my house out and go watch the World Cup from St. Lucia.
There you go.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah. All right. So what do we think, guys? What's going to happen tomorrow, first of all? Croatia, England.
I was 14 years of age last time we were in the World Cup semi-final. That's how long it was ago. And, you know, I don't know. It's a coin flip. I mean, Croatia.
So Brad was 30? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a coin flip.
I think Croatia is a very talented team, but I think there's a little bit of destiny to this England team. Maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid of it's coming home, but I think England will make it to the finals. And then I think England and France, I think France is the better team, but I think it's a coin flip for the finals.
On any given day, if you play 10 games against this France team.
It's who can get up for it the most, and I think England will be more fired up for that game.
In 1990, when we made the semifinals, they were an old team. This team is young now, and while they may not, even if they don't win the World Cup this time, in 4 years, I think we're going to be better. And not only that.
Mentally.
Not only that. We are under 20 world champions, under 17 world champions, two-time Toulon under 21 champions. You know, there's a pipeline coming through. So even if they don't do it this time, it gives me hope that it can happen again. Like after 1990 and
Italy. What you're trying to say is it's back on.
It's coming home back on.
What concerns me though is these kids coming through, the U20s, the U17s. Is that they're in the books at Chelsea, Man U, Arsenal, City, and they're not going to get a chance. And they're going to get loaned out to Hull and Forest and QPR.
But I think that's why you're seeing so many of these guys right now that are playing for Spurs, that are playing for Liverpool, where they're not – it's teams that can't afford to loan them out the way Chelsea and United can.
And they're playing week – like Harry Maguire at Leicester, week in, week out, Premier League.
The goalie.
Pickford.
Pickford.
Yeah. And you know what? They were talking about Subasic, the Croatia goalie, being better than Pickford. They've got a better goal. He plays for PSG in France.
Yeah.
You can't tell me he gets more shots against him playing for PSG than Pickford does.
No, I think the goalies in general this tournament have had a pretty good World Cup.
Oh, without us.
Pickford's been a surprise to me. I didn't realize he was that good.
But I think
he spent all season having Lukaku, Giroud, Eden Hazard, pummel him at Everton.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Croatian goalie's not had.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we talked about the PSGs of the world. They're a superstar team. They're like Real Madrid without competition, without the Barcelona to push them. You know.
But do you not think that's what happened to a degree with Spain? Is that they're used to being at Real Madrid and being at Barcelona, they're used to get in their own way
somewhat, but then they get into
the Champions League. They have a World Cup. I mean, some of these players have a World Cup. They have a Euro medal. I think there's a little bit of complacency that sits in. You know,
maybe
you've talked about it. They didn't come prepared. Germany, former champions, kind of walked in. This is our show. We'll start worrying about it come the knockout stage, and then oh fuck, we're not even going to make the knockout stage.
And once you've won it. The biggest thing you will ever do in your life, you've already done.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there is that mindset that creeps in, like, well, even if we don't win it, I've already got a World Cup medal. Whereas the kids who, you know, the England kids right now are like, this may be our only chance. Because anything can happen in these tournaments.
And that's where Croatia has that chip on the shoulder.
Exactly.
That
they're coming to the end of their golden jersey.
They're a young country. Yeah. That doesn't have that history but the way these other ones.
But a lot of their guys are aging out, you know.
Yeah.
Will Luka Modric still be Luka Modric at the next World Cup?
No,
he won't. I mean, they're sort of at the end of their golden generation, whereas England's at the beginning of a new one.
Yeah. I it's a coin flip. Croatia have been a good team. I actually had Croatia going to the semis anyway. And I did not have England being there. So.
I had Croatia getting out of their group, but I shouldn't say surprised because I knew they were a good team. I'm happy they've made it this far. And I said something the other day. The final four teams, I'd be happy if any one of them won the World Cup.
I'd be happier if one of them won.
Well, sure. but as a neutral fan.
Everyone talks about Modric, but Rakitic is quality.
Oh, yeah.
Kalinic is Perisic. Quality players.
Yeah.
And, it's not going to be easy. And then Balkan kids, man, they are fucking hard. They are hard people.
Which one is that plays for Barcelona? Is it
Rakitic?
Isn't that the one that Ronaldo is demanding Juventus go after now?
Yeah.
So, you know, Ronaldo, big news today. Ronaldo did officially sign with Juve. And I heard today that he's already telling Juve, go get him.
He's quality. Yeah. And they're quality players. And then they're hard. They are hard-nosed players that...
And they're tenacious. They don't give up. Like
they're the anti-Neymar.
Yes, they really are. But they... No, because they don't... I mean, every ball is winnable. You know, they're not going in a ball...
Well, and Modric, who is a superstar, he's out there throwing his body into it.
Slide tackle.
Tiny guy.
He had two tackles in that last game.
I mean, Modric is older than the country he plays for. I mean, you look at the upbringing these guys have had... You know, and the stories their parents can tell them, they've got a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, the nationalism, the national pride these guys have, it's everything to them. And whoever
well,
wins.
You saw the Switzerland boys that were formerly
Kosovo.
Kosovo, you know, given the little iron. I mean, you talk about Americans being patriotic. These boys.
It's unfair, I think, of FIFA to this is a. The World Cup is intrinsically nationalistic anyway.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You're going to get that. And I actually like that stuff. I like what that Vida did on. You know what? You know, well,
Vida, I kept telling my son came up and was watching that game with me. And he said, he looks like he belongs on that show Vikings.
Shit,
I mean,
he looks like a shit Andy Carroll. Yeah. Like. I don't know. It could be a coin flip, 50-50.
I think it's going to be England and penalty kicks. I just have that feeling that. It's just
going to make them defy that devil twice. Huh?
Yes. You know what? It just has that feeling that it's just they're both.
Well, shit, Croatia's gone to penalty kicks the last two rounds.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, is that they can hold in there. They can buckle down and they can weather storms.
But you know what? And Croatia should have beat Denmark.
Yeah.
Croatia should have beat Russia. All things being equal, they should.
Croatia should have beat Russia, yeah.
You know, I know the home field and all that. Croatia aren't playing that well.
I think England needs to get off to a good start. If England doesn't get off to a fast start, then I see it going a drag, you know, slog it out.
Yeah.
And
Croatia
can pull it into penalties, you know, if it gets that ugly.
They
but if England gets out quick and they've got, I mean, I saw a thing, they've got four of the fastest 20 kids in the World Cup this year.
Yeah.
Which you don't think of England as a speedster team, but they got some quick kids out there. If they can come out fast, if they can come out flying, nick an early goal, then it becomes kind of like the Sweden.
It benefits us for it to be an open game. If it becomes a bogged down grind, they can take care of business.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that's where it's such a coin toss.
Again, you get to halftime and it's still 0-0. Watch Croatia close it in.
Yep.
Say we can take them. You know what I mean? So in the final, I think it'll be England France, and I think England will win.
I'm thinking England France, and France wins, just because, like I said, today they didn't even get to that next gear up.
I would rather lose to Croatia than lose to France in the final. I'd rather lose the semifinal and be done with it all than
the emotional toll.
But that is a serious thing. Like, you're like, ah, we didn't even get to the final versus we were right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Sunday I'd be a mess.
Well, either we're going to get together and watch the World Cup final. Either you or Sarah will be fit to be tied.
If England lose on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then I actually want Croatia to go all the way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, and that's the other thing. Even though I root for France, France has always been my second team just because my last name happens to be of French origin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be rooting for you or Sarah in the final just because I want to see a friend of mine.
You want your friends to be happy. And you know what? I didn't go to Louisville, okay?
Yeah.
You all went to Louisville. I wanted my friends to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I kind of went off the deep end when we lost to Louisville.
Well, let's talk about the World Cup finals. The St. Louis FC is having two different parties. One is at the Post in Maplewood, and one is at Westport Social. There is a contest for the Post where they're going to be giving an all-inclusive food and drink package. But if you're poor like me, you can just show up there and, you know, bum a few beers from people. Amsterdam will also be having a huge watch party. Everybody goes to the Amsterdam. If you're claustrophobic like me, probably not the best for you because there's just too many people. And if you're going to go to the Amsterdam for the final, you better get there 2 or 3 hours before kickoff, because we've all been to games at the Amsterdam for the World Cup where we're outside and we can't get in because the fire marshal has said no more.
And that's what worries me tomorrow, because I don't finish work till at noon.
Right.
I'm not going to get.
There's a
there
chance you couldn't get in.
Yeah, you wouldn't get in.
I'm not going to not miss the game.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't get in there.
So we'll be talking about it more the next couple of days, especially after the final set. But there will be Luligans at the Amsterdam, Westport Social, and the Post in Maplewood. So go check it out.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I hope I win the all-inclusive, because it would make my decision a lot easier.
Yeah.
If we win tomorrow, I might fly home and watch it with my dad.
That would be awesome.
Because
you got to take Ewan, though.
You know what?
You can put Steve-O in.
And I was thinking about this. You know what? If we only make the World Cup final once every 40, 50 years, this is it. Me and my dad, this is it.
Prorate it for 50 years.
He won't be
it's
around.
It's only $1.50 a year.
Yeah, he won't be around for the next one. I mean, this is it. So I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, but see, I think you guys are so set, though. I think you guys are going to be up there now.
Let's mention that. That I forgot what I was going to mention.
Talking about the Post, all-inclusive.
Yeah, the Post, all-inclusive. And, the club also has a contest. I don't know if that's still going on, where you can win a watch party at your place, where the club will bring, I think, Domino's pizzas and beer and hang out at your place. So
I have no problem with that either.
They can do that. They can do that and watch the Twins, and I'll go somewhere else.
That would be good. Say, hey, Barton, while your foot's in a boot there, can you hold the babies?
Yeah, I'm going to the Post.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other big news, tournament news. Fire and Ice, they finished their season undefeated.
Jesus, only gave up one goal.
Oh, you only gave up one goal.
That's ridiculous.
They won their last game 8-0.
You know, and the thing is, too, is that when you win 8-0, I mean, don't get me wrong, Kansas City Courage are not that good, you know, according to the standings and what I've read.
Lindsay's kind of a bitch. She probably ran it up on purpose.
Do you think she doesn't run it up on purpose ever?
She doesn't take her foot off the gas.
No.
You know
Lindsay, I meant that in the best possible way.
This is soccer, man. Yeah. You can't patronize your opponents.
And for their trouble, they're going to they won the Heartland Conference. Now they're going to the playoffs this weekend.
Houston.
They'll face FC Dallas's WPSL team on Saturday, and then the winner of the other game on Sunday. That's like
back-to-back games.
Back-to-back, no rest. Go back in there.
I think the Lions finished second in that conference.
Red Star did, yeah. I thought.
And
Lions had a good season
for their first season,
yes.
Because I didn't know how it was going to go because I presumed and I that Lindsay swooped up all the local talent. I didn't know how it would go for the Lions.
I think they've done well. They had a good season. First year for the organization, I think they'll be back and they'll be better.
I think they tied Fire Nice both times. I mean,
they were draws. Lindsay didn't walk all over them. But we hope Lindsay walks all over the competition this weekend.
And if they win the game against the Dallas team, the Chicago team's in that other.
The Red Star, yeah.
So, you know, there's a chance of seeing them go head-to-head again.
Yeah.
I talked to Lindsay a little bit yesterday on text, and she said she's a little worried. They're got a few niggling injuries going in, and you know it's been a little bit harder.
Hey, repeating is always harder.
But
got Saga on your back.
But that being said, when you're putting up 8 spots,
yeah,
you know,
she does not joke around. She's there for real, and we wish them all the best. It would be great if the Britneys could repeat as national champions.
How crazy would that be?
I'm all about teams getting second stars above the crest.
There you go.
I'm all about it.
Speaking of women's soccer, the rumor going around today is that the NWSL, which is the first division in United States women's soccer, they may be being gobbled up by the USL.
Interesting.
That would be kind of nice for the USL to have a top women's team or women's league in their umbrella of men's second, third, and fourth division, and they're also their super youth league, super Y league.
You know, if that's true, mm-hmm. and if it does come to fruition, I think you're really seeing USL be that FA of the United States, with MLS being outside the pyramid, for lack of a better word.
I think that there's a close relationship anyway. I mean, you look at what Amanda Duffy, she worked for the USL and Louisville City, and then now the commissioner or the GM of the NWSL. And
somebody you mentioned on Reddit, I think it was, you know, why isn't MLS going to gobble them up? I think structure-wise, NWSL is probably more akin to a second division.
7,000 to 14,000
We're talking about money. We're talking about how to market. It's not the same as MLS.
No.
And I think they may benefit from some of the things that USL has put together, best practices and working with USL-level clubs. Because I think, you know, like Mitch said, same size stadiums. I mean, with the exception of, like, the Portland Thorns, who are huge. I mean,
but again, Portland was in USL for so long.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a very parallel game here.
I think it's great for USL. I think it only helps to expand their footprint and their legitimacy as a U.S. soccer entity.
And then the league that the Fire and Ice are in essentially becomes parallel to the PDL. You know, so you have a very parallel experience going up the chain there.
I think they should work more to get the NWSL and the WPSL working together. I know what happens in certain markets, like Chicago has their second team in WPSL, but you know it's going to become like USL, where some of the MLS teams have a Division III team, some of them have a Division II team. But I think it's good news for the NWSL, because as we all know, women's sports in general are a hard sell in the United States. I mean, we complain about how hard it is to sell second division soccer. How many U.S. women's leagues have we gone through where everything's right, but they just can't make it go? I think NWSL may be smart taking a step back and approaching it from a second division sort of mentality instead of trying to emulate MLS.
Again, the parallels are there. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of USL.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the rumors going on there.
So, both on Reddit and Twitter today, it sounds like Hartford announcement is coming next week.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Perfect market.
It is.
The Whale.
They've got to do blue and green.
They got to do blue and green. Yeah.
And there's a rumor going around, and it sounds like it's got pretty good footing, because there was a visit to Des Moines, Iowa, where the Menace will be becoming a USL 2 team.
I originally thought that would be a D3 market, but D2.
They're stepping up for D2, evidently. It sounds like it's
talking about a new stadium downtown Des Moines, and that would be nice.
5.5 hours drive. Yeah. It's not far.
Yep.
We've done that drive. It's not a pleasant drive.
Yeah, but...
It's a lot of 1- and 2-lane highways going through there for a while.
Yeah, but we'd take a bus this time. It wouldn't be my minivan.
You say that. Yeah. There's plans for buses that never happened.
That's true.
Truth.
Other news. El Paso releasing their five finalists for their name. They're going to start branding that club for next year. They have a lot of...
Can they just be called Old?
The Old El Paso, yes. That's definitely who should be on their jersey. but they're going with Spanish-themed names.
Who'd have thought?
But it makes sense. I think one of them was Tejanos. One was Estrella with stars. One was Locomotive. I don't know if El Paso is a big railroad center. I don't know why.
No, big Russian influence.
Well, there you go. And then the other bit of news was rumors are that they're going ahead with that USL team in Austin.
Yeah, I was reading that this morning, yeah. And it sounds like that's...
MLS and crew be damned. The original ownership group that wanted to put a USL team in had made plans for it, and they got kind of torpedoed by all this crew talk.
You know what? If Precog goes in there and shits all over them, they've still got the license, they've still got the team, they can... They can look around and maybe move it somewhere else and see what happens.
I'm really believing Precourt's not going to get it done in Austin, and I think he looks at Sacramento next.
Yeah, at this point in time.
Because Sacramento needs another big money owner to come in, and Sacramento's starting to feel hard done by, like they might not get it in the open expansion process. Here's the thing.
If it was St. Louis, let's say he was looking at St. Louis. How welcoming would we be to Precourt?
No, we wouldn't. And I don't think Tower Bridge Battalion would be. You know, I don't think this is what they want. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Precourt gives a shit. And
I think that's been proven several times
over. Right. And I think there are people in every market. Just like Detroit. We talk about how the Detroit City FC doesn't want the MLS team to come in. You know who they're copying their colors. They're trying to copy their name and all that bullshit. Detroit, in general, doesn't really care. And I think Precourt would
look
go
what happened
Sacramento.
In Atlanta. Atlanta's a prime example.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
all
the Silverback fans were going to throw a fit. Well, they still get 62,000 to show up to their home games.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be shitty, and especially if they keep the fucking name. If they, you know, if they move to Sacramento, they almost have to rebrand as Sacramento Republic. But
assuming that they can get in on that. But again, I just think that the backlash.
But I don't think Austin's going to bend over backwards and take him.
They're not. The city council has been very adamant about basically we're not laying down for you.
Yeah,
if you're a soccer fan in Sacramento, you go watch Sacramento Republic.
Yeah.
I mean, that and the Kings is all they've got.
But again,
if you're a soccer fan in Sacramento, you go watch Sacramento Republic. You're not sat at home waiting for MLS in Sacramento.
No. But as we've talked about,
I think there are people in Detroit sat around waiting for MLS.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we've talked about before. You know, we are a drop in the bucket of St. Louis soccer fans, even though we're the biggest group that there is now for St. Louis FC. If an MLS team came to town, they're not worried about our 1,000 tickets.
No, you know I understand that.
And I think Precourt and the powers that be in MLS.
But I think.
I think they think they're so big.
The terms of his lease, the terms of his buyout lease, only gave him an escape clause
for
Austin.
You're true. But do you think Don Garber would bend the rules for him? Yeah, because Don Garber don't give a shit.
But the thing is that
Ohio could sue them. Yeah.
Right. You have
no.
You have,
I think ultimately the best thing, obviously, and I've said this from the beginning, is
get out.
He has to sell to a local owner, and then Precourt could take his money
and go do Sacramento.
And go do Sacramento. I think ideally, they need to make him sell it to
a
local.
He's a piece of shit.
Oh yeah, of course.
And
He's no different than the NFL owners. They're all shit.
He is a former NFL
owner. And if he rocks up here and wanted to put a team here, I would want nothing to do with it. And you know, because in 20 years, he could do it to us. Or he could do it to those. Because all he wants is the shiny and new. And when the polish fades...
It's the Kroenke.
We
just watched that happen.
Los Angeles Rams were more than happy to come to St. Louis when we built them a new dome. But as soon as we wouldn't get them a new dome, they moved back.
That's what happens. I mean, that's what it is now. The rich get richer by getting free stuff from cities. Jesus, I sound like...
But I do think people are wising up to that.
Oh, absolutely. And Austin's a prime example. That city council has flat out told him no. And
it's not going to make Austin any cooler. But it's a cool-ass city. It's not going to make him any cooler.
Right.
But at the same time... I still think there's still plenty willing to play that game, and that's why I think Sacramento gets fucked in the next round, and they go to Detroit and Phoenix.
But that's the thing, though, is that, okay, so let's say...
They've used Sacramento just like they used St. Louis.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm not talking about this last round of expansion. I'm talking the Philadelphia, Toronto era. Yeah, 2010.
But pre-court still is that cancer, though. I mean, they're going to have to deal with him at some point in time.
Well, I think MLS is split. I think you've got some of the old boys network there, the Robert Krafts and the Kroenkes.
Well, and
basically the NFL guys that own MLS teams are happy to keep it the way it is. And then you've got some progressive ones like Merritt Paulson and up in Seattle, the what's his name? Allen.
Yeah.
Paul Allen. I think those guys do want to invest more. And I think Blank down in Atlanta wants to make Atlanta United a thing.
That's my point. At some point, someone's got to pull him aside and say, you bought a community team in Columbus. That's your team. Yeah. Stay there. Make it work.
Or get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Be proud to be an owner of a Columbus team and make it the best you can be.
I think you're split in MLS right now between owners who would say that to him and other ones who would be more than happy for him to move to the shiny and new, because that means their values go up. Again, without doing anything on the field, Robert Kraft has spent next to nothing on the Revolution and watched his investment go up and up and up.
And
thank you, Robert Kraft, because you invested a lot to begin with.
But at some point, the model has to change to what's best for the game, not what's best for the
but
ownership.
See, that's the thing.
Well,
guys like Robert
and to
Kraft,
make it valuable for the TV money and things like that versus just the valuation of your franchise when you sell it.
But Robert Kraft doesn't want guys like Precourt pulling that game because it makes him look bad, because he's not putting that money back in. He's dual
He's about to be forced to build a new stadium in Boston.
Right, and that's the thing. He doesn't want these kind of actions going on. He wants status quo.
Yeah, or he wants to sell the team. Which, I don't know, I think his son runs the Revolution more than, you know, I think Big Bob's the Patriots.
But it's still, they're using the same facilities, you know,
it's a lot easier to play
Kraft,
when you don't have to pay rent.
Kraft could come out and make it work like they have in Seattle. He could say, look, we've got X amount of money. We could either build a stadium or we could pump it in the team and make it a really good team. We'll put tarps over the stadium so it doesn't look so... let's put it on the field.
And the other thing is...
And I think people would go with that. The problem is with Foxborough, it's kind of out in the sticks.
Foxborough sucks. It's like a two-lane highway to get there, and it's the only thing at the end of that road. But, you know, he's to the point where, look, the Patriots have won, what, 6 Super Bowls, 5 Super Bowls in the last 20 years or however long it's been. He could do it right. He could build what Atlanta has built and put it closer to Boston, and I think it would be a winner. But I don't know if he's going
to
do that.
He doesn't need to because the Patriots don't need it, because people still trek out there because the Patriots are good.
Yeah. But for a lot of years, the Patriots were really bad.
Yeah. But
the thing is, they're not a Boston team. They're a New England team. People travel from Connecticut.
Yeah,
Rhode
but they're
Island,
a Boston
Maine.
Team.
I get that.
Yeah.
But they're marketed as a
New England
outfit.
But that's not by accident. It's because of that, because you know you have those travelers that will do that. So you don't have that Boston stigma on it.
No, but we talk about the good old days and then the era where they started to build stadiums out in the suburbs because it was cheaper and things like that. That used to be the Boston Patriots.
Yeah.
They couldn't get a stadium built in the city of Boston. I mean, first of all, because the problems of finding land in a city like Boston. Foxborough made them a hell of a deal, so they rebranded as the New England Patriots when they moved out to Foxborough.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah. My interest in NFL is...
Yeah. Well, growing up, I was an NFL kid, so...
It was a different era.
And I was actually a Patriots fan because I liked lovable losers. And as soon as they got good, I was like, that's it for them.
That explains a lot of what's going on right now.
I know. Let's move on. We mentioned just briefly that St. Louis FC signed another academy contract, Jack Lynn. He's a forward. I don't know a whole lot about him, but... we need warm bodies, so I'm glad he's with us.
I got the Stewie goes to a bunch of
those games.
Stewie
goes to those games, yeah.
He said he was pleasantly surprised. He didn't expect Jack to be one of the guys that would get one of those, but he said the kid seems to have a lot of upside, so keeping him in-house as a priority made a lot of sense. So I think it's something that we, you know, again, this is the way it's supposed to go, that if you're good enough and you have commitment and you're doing it, there's a place for you.
Yeah, I mean... That's we want that pathway. Speaking of pathways, this weekend they had the developmental academy kind of playoffs for the U19s, U18s, and both Aiden Stanley and Jack Marr made the best 11.
As they should.
Two really bright spots, and like I said, maybe we'll try to get them both on before they head off to college.
That'd be fun.
I want to mention that... A 3v team, 3v3 Luligan boys team had another good championship run. They fell in the finals to a team that was like 3 years older than them.
It was stunning to see them not win.
Yeah.
That was actually the biggest surprise of it all.
But they were playing sort of, they're at the low end of the high school age bracket, and they played kids that are about to graduate out of it. Heard it was a little bit of a chippy game. Heard that they kind of...
the older kids threw their weight around.
Threw their weight around. Maybe we won't say dirty, but not clean.
Didn't represent the organization the best way.
Yeah, but hats off to these kids. They took them to 4-3. I mean, it wasn't a blowout. They held their own.
High school kids. I mean, that's, you know, when you're looking at 3-4 years difference, that's all the difference in the world.
So there are champions. So we are very proud of you.
Keep doing it, boys.
And let's do some questions real quick, comments. It's not a whole lot, just some basically people want to vent.
I was curious that St. Louis FC put a tweet out saying vent here and then we're moving on. That was kind of ballsy.
Yeah,
they're trying to control the narrative.
Yeah, no, good for them.
We'll vent where we want to vent, guys. I'm sorry.
First one with Jeff Aiken. Jeff was actually in Las Vegas. He said, I kind of feel like we're in some sort of shame spiral. Only a handful of players acknowledged us after the match, other than Fink and Reynolds. It was a quick clap and off to the dressing room. Kind of stung him a bit. He did want to share some encouragement with them. He said he wants the players to know that we're still with them, for better or worse, and things can only get worse when you don't have anyone looking out for you, but he wanted to remind them that we still are. We've talked about this before. We've all been to trips that...
damn it.
You know, you can play your button. I wanted to get 3 minutes into the show before you took it over with sound bites.
No way.
All right, Mitch, answer the question.
I think after a performance like that, you can't look fans in the eye. Some of them, they know it stunk, and they can't physically look fans in the eye.
Mitch's fingers going to the games. I love this team. That's why it hurt. but yeah, we've said that before. I mean, sometimes after that game, the best thing you can do is just get a shower and forget about it. But I do get the feeling that, hey, I made this trip. Come over and say hi at least.
But the fans that went out there, they probably still had a bloody good time.
Well, yeah, because Vegas, baby. Stuart wanted to say today marks the opening of the secondary transfer window in the United States and Canada. Will we see the club signing any internationals with that acquired spot?
Well, Ronaldo's off the table now.
Ronaldo is off the table. I don't know. I asked Jeremy. He didn't respond to that. I'm going to choose to think...
As he wouldn't.
I'm going to choose to think he was so busy he couldn't get back to me rather than he's ignoring me.
Well, and the thing is, too, it's not just the international spots, though. There's, you know, Americans that are available.
Yeah, he mentioned last week that they've got trialists coming in. They're looking for bodies.
And that international spot, it's, you know, as we've discussed before,
it's financially worth something. If they're looking to fund the wages of a new player, they can sell that international spot to pay for the domestic guy coming in.
Precisely.
Yeah, and I mean, you never know. A team like Tulsa may have designs on a guy, but need that international spot. So.
Right, right. So there's a lot of things that can happen now. It's just up to him to get it done.
Right.
Just because we've got the international spot doesn't mean we're going to use it on an international player. There are roundabout ways.
What we could do is we could trade it to Oklahoma City for Christian Pulaski. No? No?
Moving on.
Derek wants to know, we seem to get a lot stronger every year from each year based on the track records from the previous clubs. Why does that not translate over to the pitch? Were we that far behind years one and two that we are still playing catch up to the rest of the league?
Shut up, dickhead.
Wow. Matt with strong feelings about Derek Gottman. No, I think years one and two we were behind.
Yes.
But I think last year and this year, the players we've signed should be able to compete in this league.
I agree.
And there is a long-term plan here. This is, you know, it's not an excuse. I think it's a sign of the times that there is some reestablishing that probably would have happened last year if we didn't go for it with Preki. So, you know, again, if we just miss the playoffs.
I think we're recovering from what happened last year still.
As an environment, yes, but the guys on the field, no. I think the guys on the field still have a job to do, and they need to do it.
Joe Ternak wanted to say that the team on Saturday wouldn't have even scored if they went to the Bunny Ranch. Well, somebody had to say it.
Yeah, if they fell in a bucket full of tits, they'd come up sucking their thumb.
That's right. JD24, earlier in the season, at least we could say we were generating chances, but just not finishing. Now it seems like we aren't even getting the chances. What has changed? I think it's fatigue. I think it's injuries and fatigue more than anything.
Yeah. I don't know. If we know the answer, then we'll fix it. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the last couple of games have been a bit of an enigma to me. I don't know.
And there's no break in sight, so they're going to have to fix it without an off weekend.
I do still say, from what I can see, the morale's good in the dressing room. There's no cliques. From what I can see, that they still seem to be pretty happy and you know, working
together
for each other.
Yeah.
So and last year I didn't get that vibe.
Yeah.
So. No, that's a fair statement.
Chris Freeman wants to say, on the one hand, it's far too soon to judge Ant on his results. It's a process. However, do you see another failure to make the playoffs as a major detriment for attracting talent next year? Are guys going to see St. Louis as a career-killing move? The club must get results soon. I think we're in danger of just becoming that also-ran team, that reputation will precede us.
There's also guys that can look at it and go, you know what, I can be a success there. I can be the man there.
I think so. But I think the longer we go without making the playoffs, we become that team.
I think a midfielder or a winger will look at this team and say, I've got a place. You know,
I mean, how did Charleston Battery do it? They don't have any more resources, budget, facilities than we do.
Yeah, but you guys have heard me say maybe we're just cursed. I mean, you know, that mindset starts to feed itself where you lose and you think, well, of course we lost. You know, we're St. Louis FC. I think every year we turn over the players, so they shouldn't have that mentality. But again, this is the third time we've completely revamped everything, and the results are similar. So unless we pull our head out and make the playoffs, that question's always going to be asked. So I think it's up to them to make it happen.
I got nothing. I'm sorry. I don't know if you're waiting for. I just I'm like, I don't know. I mean, as I say, it's a bit of an enigma.
Zach says it's July 10th. Where's my international? And is it Ant? Is he going to lead from the field? Then he follows that up with, seriously though, what's your order at Ted Drew's? What do you get at Ted Drew's?
Same thing every time. Heath.
Just can't go wrong up, with can't go wrong with toffee chocolate.
Dude, straight up Heath. Every time, Heath. Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll get a wild hair up my ass and do like Reese's Peanut Butter Cup or Oreo, yeah. But the Heath Blizzard, the Heath concrete perfection.
I'm not a peanut butter guy, but Moose Tracks and ice cream.
I love Moose Tracks.
It's the bomb.
Aaron gets mad because I do the grocery shopping, and when I bring ice cream home, about 2 out of 3 have peanut butter in them.
Moose Tracks is the bomb.
My Ted Drew's go-to is I get the concrete, I get banana, and I get cherry, but I get the maraschino cherry. So it's that little
the sweetness,
artificial sweetness in there, but the real banana, and that's my go-to.
Funny thing is, I don't like Heath bars on their own. I will only eat them in concrete.
I'm
the same way with peanut butter cups.
Really?
But chocolate and banana ice cream is the bomb too.
I always do banana, and then sometimes I will get Heath or peanut butter cups, but I always do banana, and my go-to is the banana and the cherry.
Baskin-Robbins, what do you get?
I don't ever go to Baskin-Robbins. There's not one by me.
Yeah, there's
not Baskin. At Baskin-Robbins, I always get a mint chocolate chip milkshake. And there is when I was over the road, there is a truck stop in Kingdom City that also has a Baskin-Robbins. I would always stop there and get a chocolate chip milkshake.
Their chocolate peanut butter ice cream is perfection. It pure happiness.
Zach also wanted to mention that he is praying for both Sarah and Matt in this time of need.
There is no way they can be in the same building. No. There's just, I mean, obviously with your time schedule,
it's
probably better.
I'm kind of happy you're getting it out of the way in the semifinals rather than being at the finals. That'd be too much.
I adore Sarah, but I don't want her to be happy tomorrow.
Yep. Wes Brammer wants to know if the team could bring back any one former player right
Urban
now.
Urban Herrera.
Who would you want it to be? I think Urban Herrera is the easiest answer because we need more goals, but I think we'd still be in the same spot. Who's going to get him the ball?
Patrick Duty.
Patrick Duty is one of mine.
A healthy Brandon Barklage.
That's my other one. If I could wave the magic wand, it would be a healthy Brandon Barklage. I think he would make the biggest difference.
Either one of those two guys, we would see such an improvement when they're in the
Duty
roster.
Duty serving it in from outside, and Brandon pulling the strings in the middle if he was healthy.
Mike McGee,
there you
no,
go.
I agree, actually. Barks, a healthy Barks would make... Because
even if we had Urban up there, if he's not getting the ball, not much he can do.
When I first saw Barklage play for this club, it was the friendly against Tulsa down in Tulsa. When I first saw him play, and he's spraying balls around left, right, and center, he was just so calm. I was like, oh, my God. You know, he was the real deal. Yeah. And it could have, would have, should have, you know. If he could have stayed healthy, man, we were a different team on the field.
Magical.
When that second year with Dale, when we went to Tulsa and beat them 5-2, and there was Ambo, Barklage, Hardware, and Irvin up top.
Yeah,
we were unstoppable.
Yeah,
it was phenomenal. It's probably one of the best games I've been to. It was phenomenal. I agree. I'll go with Barks over Irvin, actually, because Barklage was the man.
Flip side, who would you want to never, ever, ever see again? It's a lot harder.
I've liked all the guys that on a personal level, I have liked every single lad that we've had. Maybe
Preki's kid.
I mean,
I don't know. I shouldn't say. I never talked to the kid. Great guy.
Just because of the way he barked at us on Twitter that one time.
You know what? But that, I think
they
that
all
was
have a bad day.
That was frustration. Brian Gall had a pop at me once on Twitter, but it was after a bad loss at New York, and it was what it was.
There's a guy on the squad right now that I have no use for. Not because he's a bad guy. I think personally he's a nice guy, but I don't think he brings anything to the pitch.
Brian Jones.
He's not Brian Jones. I don't want to say who it is because, I mean, he's a nice guy. I like the kid. But I don't think there's anybody bad we've had on the team that I don't want as a part of the team.
I mean, there
were some dust-ups in training and stuff, but...
Yeah, I got no real time for Jeremy Lynch.
Yeah,
I had no real time.
That was the guy that I was thinking of because there was a training incident with him. But again, this shit happens.
But you know what? There's a couple of guys I'd like to see what they could do in a better team.
Yeah.
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 You know, I'd like to see what Jordan Roberts could have done in a better team. I'd like to have seen what we had if we had Tucker 5 years younger.
Yeah. And a guy like Dixon, I think. Oh,
if we could have Brian Sisulka, but 5 inches taller.
Yeah, I was going to say a foot taller if we got the magic spray out.
You know, a younger Ambo, what he could have done.
I mean, Mitch and I saw Ambo 5 years before.
Right at his upswing.
He was a much better player before. Again, young legs will do that to you. I don't know. I don't want to say there's anybody I don't want on the team.
There's never.
You're just a shill.
Yeah, I'm just a shill.
No, I mean, but we all...
I'm a shill because I won't publicly mention the player I'm thinking of.
I know who it is.
Of course you do. Mark Gardner.
For our premium subscribers.
Yeah, I'll say it on Patreon. No, but like I said, I really like this kid, and I don't think he's contributed a lot to the team. Mark Gardner.
He was our player of the year last season.
Shut up.
Damn it, that's what I forgot. I forgot to do the Mark Gardner of your electric call 31484. I need to put that on the doctor sample so we can just hit the Mark Gardner sponsorship.
But his question is, any chance we won't suck on Saturday? I know it's Tulsa, but dropping points this week would be unforgiving to some.
I like Mark's optimism.
Yeah, there's a chance that we don't suck on Saturday. There's a good chance. There's a good chance we'll come out and play. And because you know why? Because I was so negative on this podcast, they will come out and prove me wrong.
But
so anybody that listens to this podcast would be like, Brandon, nobody's talking about.
If we beat Tulsa 2-0, it changes nothing.
No.
The benchmark is not Tulsa. It's not. I'm sorry, it's not. The benchmark is going to Reno and winning in Reno.
But and also the benchmark was we've got to get X number of points from the next, you know, 5 or 6 games, and two of those games that we counted as winnable, we didn't. Pull the
you know, if we think that we're going to turn around our season because we beat Tulsa, then I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
We've got to show it in games against teams higher than us in the league.
Until we can win 2 games in a row, I've given up. That is handy. I'm not even going to come next podcast. You just fill it in. So that was all the questions and comments we had. But let's say that Saturday night, Tulsa Roughnecks.
This weekend is the big answer.
There you go. It's college night. If you have a college ID, you can get in for $17.64.
I do. I have a college ID.
Well, there you go. They don't know.
I already have a ticket.
Our charity du jour this week is the Humane Society of Missouri in honor of Officer Kriska. We'll also be auctioning off, or raffling off, I should say, a Mission Taco Pride jersey signed by the entire team. So come out to the tailgate if you want to buy a raffle ticket for that. And the tailgating crew, they will be serving pineapple brats.
Those are delicious.
Going to have sauerkraut and all the side and fixings.
Potato salad, coleslaw. Yeah.
So come out, have a brat. Tailgate starts at 5:30 back of the main lot at Soccer Park.
And we actually know what the beer is going to be this week, too, as well.
It's the Paddy Whack Red, isn't it?
Yeah, the Paddy Shack Red.
Paddy Shack Red.
It's delicious.
So Kirkwood Station donating that, and donations for your cups will go straight to the Missouri Humane Society. So, guys.
I am going to have an awesome soccer week.
Yes.
So. Yeah. Fuck it, let's do it.
Sunday, after the game on Saturday night, Sunday, we'll be getting together to watch the World Cup final. So, big weekend of soccer.
Big weekend of soccer.
Cannot wait. So, need to have some good results. That's all that matters.
Either way, Sunday is going to be a good day. I'm going to probably bring Ewan with me because it's an early game, right? It's a 9 o'clock kickoff.
I think it's 10 o'clock, it's maybe 9 o'clock.
No, I think it was 10 o'clock.
I'll have to bring Ewan with me. World Cup final.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with Ewan. I will say that, you know, somebody was talking to me on Twitter today about, hey, Brad, you picked France. You must be pretty happy. And it's like, you know, since St. Louis FC has come to town, I am...
10 o'clock Central Time.
I am the club over country guy. I live and die with St. Louis FC. Yeah, I'll be happy if France wins, but it's about the club for me. It's about my club. You know, I will never meet Mbappe or... Pogba or any of the members of the French national team.
But if it was the U.S.
If it was the U.S., I'd feel different. Yes,
I
yes.
I do think it's... And I can differentiate between club and country. I will say that...
If you had to choose...
The Manchester United... I'm more invested in St. Louis FC now than I am in Manchester United.
Okay, if you had to choose St. Louis FC winning the USL Cup or Manchester United winning the Premier League next year...
Oh, the USL Cup. Okay. St. Louis.
Then... St. Louis FC winning the USL Cup or England winning the World
England
Cup?
England winning the World Cup. England winning the World
and
Cup.
And even if it meant you could never see St. Louis FC win the USL Cup.
Oh, you never said never.
Yeah, no, never. You can only see one of them in your lifetime. Which would you rather see?
That's hard.
I will we're in the fucking semifinals, dude.
That's not a wrong answer. That's not a wrong answer at all.
I don't. Honest to God, if it ever happened, it might happen this week. It may happen in 4 years, 8 years. Whatever. I don't know what I'll do.
Yeah.
You know, I remember. You remember Rocco saying when Leicester won the league that he's just going to drink champagne for a year. Yeah. It will be.
He damn near did. By the way,
it will be something like that. I mean, honestly, I don't know what I'll do.
You're gonna eat through your surgery. You're gonna.
I don't know what I'll do.
Start drinking beer again.
I don't. Honestly, it'll be mental.
Well, you already said you're ordering jerseys before the whistle stops blowing. With the two stars.
That's
on.
It. I mean, he doesn't have an English shirt. The one he's got is like from 2 years ago. Don't fit him anymore. And he's like, Dad, I want an English shirt. I won't get an English shirt. And I'm like, well, let's hold on because it might have the gold patch on it.
That's right.
You know, it's.
But you're getting them for the babies and everybody, right?
They'll get onesies. Yeah, they'll get one. It's. I don't know. It's mental because I never ever expected to be in this position.
Well, all I know is I hope I get to see either you or Sarah dance in person on Sunday.
Well, I think there's a good chance one of us will.
Well, there's a good chance France could knock you both out.
But even so,
regardless, it's still an amazing feat.
It's going to be fun.
Time. It really is.
It's going to be fun. And I'm glad that I'll get to watch it with you.
Yeah.
Because I swear to God, half my enjoyment at St. Louis FC games is watching through his eyes and, you know, him running up to the top of the bleachers to tell me and Mitch something.
At least he stopped yelling at us to come down there.
Yeah. he's realized we're not making the trip down.
Sometimes it's better to look at it through five-year-old. He don't care if they win or lose.
No.
He doesn't. As long as he gets grabbed by Albert on the field and kick around.
It's like he's happy to run up and tell me, you know, what number a player is wearing.
And wave his flag. He loves it. And you know what? You talk about St. Louis FC or England winning the World Cup or St. Louis FC or Manchester United winning. In his eyes, they're all equal.
Yeah.
In his eyes, these are his boys. And it's kind of... I do enjoy his naivety.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you... I love the pictures you post of him, you know, but I love the picture of him pointing to Lewis on the TV. I mean, to him... He knows a soccer player on TV.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't recognize the difference between Lewis Hilton and, you know, whoever, you know, Manchester United player.
Marcus Rashford.
Marcus Rashford. They're both professional soccer players. He saw them both on that TV.
Mm-hmm.
And bonus, he actually knows Lewis.
Yeah. In his eyes, there is no difference.
Yeah. So that's great.
I
would hold them in higher esteem if they could beat RGV, Las Vegas, and Tulsa.
Let's just start with Tulsa.
Let's start with Tulsa.
That's all we can do.
See ya.